Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 3 of a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. 60 more minutes, or actually about 58 more minutes, to go live right here on TEL to send you into your weekend. It is a Football Friday. We'll talk some college football in the third to last Saturday of the CFB regular season in just a moment. Not the most robust slate we have seen, but a couple of very impactful games. In fact, every game is impactful. College football playoff chase in full force in so many scenarios to decide basically every conference championship game around the country. But Joe, before we get back into football with our NFL Week 11 pick six coming in our final 30 minutes as well, we go outside of football on this Friday. A really great Friday with a lot of things happening, including a heavyweight bout between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, a sign of the times, my friend. We'll preview everything on this Friday to start off this third hour.
Yeah, I can't. There's a lot to break down about that one, Ben, but it just adds to your point. We got great college football games here tonight. We've got a fight involving dudes who are 31 years apart in age. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, man.
No, it certainly does not. And a huge college basketball slate on this Friday. Yep. Perhaps the best single night of this college basketball season, about a week and a half in to this young year. And, oh, second night of the second annual in-season competition in the association, the Emirates NBA Cup on night number 2. So we wanted to hear from the people, Joe, about Paul versus Tyson. Friday night, fight is on Netflix at AT&T Stadium. It is an officially legalized and sanctioned fight, so there are betting odds available. And who is the public going with? Find out now in Fade the Public. The main event tonight at the Star. I believe it's under the lights, so no need to worry about that sunlight or the curtain in Dallas. Joe, we wanted to hear from the people at Sports Grid on Twitter. Did you have an informed opinion on who was going to win this fight tonight between Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul? Most of the public thinks it's Mike Tyson. 67.5% believe it is Mike Tyson. Joe, we'll talk about the odds in just a moment, but first, your synopsis on the FTP poll. Do you agree with the public? Are you fading the public? Is it Mike Tyson or is it Jake Paul?
Well, you know, for somebody that grew up in the, you know, watching Mike Tyson as an 18-year-old and an Olympic boxer and the golden gloves and everything else, of course I want Tyson to win this, but the dude is 58 years old. There is a 31-year difference between these two fighters. I will say this, if you are able to bet this, if you're in a place where it is available to you, understand what's going on here. These are not 10-ounce gloves. They're 14-ounce gloves. This is not, you know, 3-minute rounds. It's 8 2-minute rounds. There's no headgear here. It is a sanctioned professional fight. How they got the Texas authorities to sanction this is hilarious. But Jerry's got a lot of pull since it is a Jerry world there. But just understand what we're dealing with here. Also, Jake Paul is nearly 30 pounds heavier than he was in his last fight against Mike Perry a few months ago, and that's not a comfortable thing either. So understand the rules and understand what you're dealing with here if you're going to dive in. But my money will be on Tyson as well as the draw, Ben.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. As Joe said, it is a sanctioned professional fight somehow, some way. Yep. But a couple of those key rule changes. 14-ounce gloves instead of the standard 10-ounce gloves normally in heavyweight bouts. 8 rounds, not a full 12. Not 3-minute rounds, but only 2-minute rounds in the largest age gap in professional boxing history. 31 years. Iron Mike is now 58. Jake Paul is 27 years old. The tail of the tape between these two. Jake Paul has a 10-1 career record, 7 wins via knockout or TKO. Iron Mike is 50-6, plus 2 no contests. His last official fight was way back now, nearly 2 decades ago in 2005. His only fight since then, an exhibition bout against Roy Jones Jr. back in 2020. And despite what the public is saying, and despite, of course, all of the pedigree with Iron Mike, Jake Paul is the betting favorite at greater than a $2 price at minus 205. That's not the most substantial minus money price you will see in a boxing money line or a head-to-head, but Jake Paul is the favorite tonight in Dallas.
Yeah, and listen, he should be. I mean, he's, you know, 31 years difference here, but I will say this, this is at least, even though he's older, this is a professional boxer, and he hasn't exactly stepped into the ring, Jake Paul, with other professional boxers and before, which means he hasn't exactly gotten hit before. And even watching the preliminary, you know, they did like a Netflix documentary following these guys through camps and everything else. And I'm sorry, I 58, not 50. I am not stepping in front of a Mike Tyson round. I'm just not doing it. It looks absolutely horrific, Ben. So good luck, Jake Paul, because you are going to get hit in this one for the first time, I think, in your professional boxing career or so-called boxing career.
Yeah, so, Joe, there's a joke that my friends and I do for the amount of millions of dollars that you had to fight Mike Tyson at his age, what would you take? Obviously, the older that he is, the bigger your purse is. But the reason there is a joke is because if you know anything about the lore of Mike Tyson, of Iron Mike, in the way that he came up in the boxing realm, at the age of 12, he was nearly 200 pounds and could squat something like 400. So I've already always made the joke, I'd fight a 3-year-old Mike Tyson, still probably have a tough fight, take $3 million and get out of there. He has always defied the age of what he is. And sure, it's glorified workout videos, I do understand, but the guy is moving well for a 58-year-old. And even if he's not moving all that well at near 60, he's still Iron Mike. And if he hits you one time, I know I wouldn't be waking up for about 48 hours. So we shall see. Again, we shall see. Donnie Wrightside has a couple of conspiracy theories that to make Jake Paul incredibly relevant still for future huge Netflix purses and all this stuff as they try to get into live sports. You can't have Jake Paul lose to the only actual fighter he has ever actually fought or in terms of a professional boxer. So again, we shall see.
But these odds are available on the FanDuel. This is a huge card. So the idea that it's not just this fight, there's going to be a million other fights on this card, which means this probably isn't happening till maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock tomorrow morning, Ben. It's not going to be an 8 o'clock primetime fight by any stretch.
So then maybe look at the rest of the things in sports today. NBA Cup, Night number two, yep. College basketball in full effect. We'll talk college. We'll basically do all college in our next two segments together. College hoops tonight into college football tomorrow and also some college football tonight. Joe, night number two of the NBA Cup. We were together on the opening night on Tuesday. Here are the games. We've got six in the Eastern Conference, six in the Western Conference, all three groups in action. Again, here are the games. We can just show them quickly. Bada bing, bada boom. Group A, Knicks, Nets, Burrow battle, 76ers, and Magic. Joel Embiid expected to play. Group B, Group C. Let's get over to Group A, B, and C in the West. And we'll do it maybe up next. We got to give the NBA Cup its runneth right next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who would have known we would have spent so much time on Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul, but here we are in 2024. Quickly again, NBA Cup night number two. You saw everything in the East. Now we go over to Friday night's Western Conference games. Now, I can't see all that well. That looks like the East again. No, that is the Western Conference. All right, great. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at the Western Conference in the six games that we have in Group A. The Clippers visit Houston. The Rockets, 8-4 to start this year. The Timberwolves have not been looking great here this week, mainly in the Rose City. Perhaps a move to California's capital would be a little bit better against the Kings, the Lakers, and the Spurs. San Antonio, Victor Wembanyama, 50-point game on Wednesday. LeBron James, his third consecutive triple-double. The oldest player in year 22 to ever do that. Sun, Thunder, not the Phoenix, the Suns and the Thunder tonight, 7.5-point spread in favor of OKC. They've won both of their games without Chet Holmgren. I expect some points in that matchup. Grizzlies and the Warriors in San Francisco. Pels, who are struggling. The New Orleans Pelicans at home hosting the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, these are going to be interesting here, Ben, because now this is night two, right? Tuesdays and Fridays each week over the next month, we'll get these games.
Yeah,
I think some of these, if you like the under, I think they go woefully under. And if some of these you like the over, I think they go way over because of the format and with the point differentials in play. So keep that in mind with these games here tonight moving forward.
And just quickly, as we go back to the East, Joel Embiid is expected to play in his second game of the season. Guy just lives and dies by the NBA Cup. 23.5 is his points prop. He was 2 of 11 from the floor in his season debut on Tuesday night for the 76ers. Now, a focus on college. First, college basketball, huge Friday night slate. Listen, we've been in the college basketball season for just about a week and a half. This, in my opinion, the best single night we have seen up and down the docket. So many good games. Top 15 tilt. Alabama and Purdue, 2.5-point spread in favor of the Crimson Tide. Another top 25 showdown. Ohio State has looked great in each of its first two games this year. Already a victory over a ranked team from the Lone Star State in Texas. That was on the opening night in Las Vegas. A&M bouncing back, 5.5-point home favorite. Arizona and Wisconsin, great game there. Maryland, Marquette, great game in College Park. A Sunshine State showdown between Florida State and Florida. Both teams unbeaten to start this year. And perhaps a game, Joe, that 8 years ago we would have said, what is this, 1 versus 2? Reigning national champ versus reigning national champ in Virginia and Villanova? Maybe not the case. The Cats somehow, some way, at 2-2, favored to beat the Cavaliers. Not so sure I agree.
That might be the ugliest game of the night, Ben. If you're having trouble sleeping, pop on Nova Virginia and you'll want to throw up and pass out. I find the Alabama one the most interesting against Purdue. Alabama is by far the better team, but Bama is getting overshadowed by Auburn, their arch rival over there right now. And the problem with Alabama this year is they're only shooting 30% from three right now, Ben. but they're attempting threes on nearly 50% of their offensive possessions.
Right.
So you want to know when they hit better than 35%, they're going to blow teams out. If they're hitting 30%, Ben, they're going to keep teams in games, and that's not great.
Yeah.
I think they're above that tonight against Purdue, who I think is still a little overrated, and people think Zach Edey's still on the team.
Purdue has really not looked great this year. They're figuring things out, certainly trying to replace the biggest star in college basketball from a year ago. And one of the really cool things, all of these games, or at least a lot of these games, are in home arenas. Like, we're going to Mackey. We're going to the Kohl Center. We're going to Reed Arena in College Station. We will play inside Hinkle Fieldhouse tonight, SMU and Butler. Georgia, Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Chrysler Center is Michigan, host TCU. Mm. Here's a really good one. Princeton, Loyola, Chicago, both unbeaten entering this matchup. We've got a couple of games in neutral sites like Villanova and UVA in Baltimore, followed by Virginia Tech and Penn State, both the Hokies and the Nittany Lions unbeaten. But we've got some really good games in those classic arenas and pantheons of college basketball. Alabama in Mackey, that is awesome. All right, from college basketball on this Friday, we've got college football on this Friday, but our focus is on a college football Saturday, the third to final of this regular season in 2024. Joe, not every game is great on Saturday, but there's a lot of heavily impactful games, and the best game of the week is a top 15 tilt in Athens. It's Georgia. It is Tennessee, the Volunteers inside the top 10. Georgia number 12 in the country. But based on how the bracket works currently in the projected college football playoff, if the season ended today, despite being number 12, the Dogs would be on the outside looking in. We've talked about the injury uncertainty. Nico Iamaleava for Tennessee, questionable with a concussion for the Volunteers. Trevor Etienne expected to be a workhorse for Georgia in the backfield, not going to play in this game, and he hasn't been all that great this year. UGA now a 9.5-point home favorite. Total stands at 47.5. German Airy, what is the best bet?
To me, I forget the side, Ben, because this is usually a spot that you want to back Georgia at home, coming off a loss, and Kirby Smart understands what's out. But with the questions regarding the quarterback and the health here of Tennessee, and my questions about whether Carson Beck is completely lost it above the shoulders, I think the two best units on the field are going to be the defenses, Ben. I think the under is the way to look. I'd even say the first half under, in fact. Expect this to be a pressure-packed game for both teams.
I bet the under of 48.5 earlier this week because of the questions about Nico Iamaleava. But more importantly, Joe, for the third time this season, including last week against Ole Miss and in Austin against Texas, Georgia enters a football game not as the better defense. That is the Volunteers, top five scoring and total defense in the country. Yep. And Carson Beck, in all four games that UGA has played in the SEC, where they have been less than a three-score favorite, has registered multiple turnovers. Give me the under. The rest of Saturday, it's up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The rest of week number 12 and the third to last Saturday of this college football regular season. Very impactful games await in the Big 12. In fact, Joe, a line that I think has a lot of people shaking their head. Late night in Provo, a very vaunted arena for a road team to visit. And the undefeated BYU Cougars at a perfect 9-0 in 7-2 ATS are only a 2.5-point favorite against the Kansas team that has just three wins. Ranieri, make sense of it for us if you can, as BYU is looking to stay undefeated and get to 10-0.
Yeah, and people are just convinced. They keep waiting for the wheels to fall off here. They were bet against last week against Utah, but that was on the road. Now they're home, and you mentioned it. I do think the Kansas Jayhawks, Ben, are better than their record says they are. But I'm sorry here. I don't get what else BYU is supposed to do except win games that are on the schedule, and that's exactly what they have done. I do think the BYU defense will end up making enough plays to give the offense an opportunity to win this game. This is a tough place to play, especially, Ben, at night, if they in their spot. So I don't trust Kansas's offense. I certainly can't trust their defense. Actually, the over is probably not a bad look here either, Ben, because we probably are getting a lot of points in this one.
Five consecutive overs for BYU. Kansas in their six Big 12 games. By the way, KU has covered in three straight. Two of those three, an outright victory. Their only two wins against FBS foes this year. In all six Big 12 games, KU has gone over in five. In fact, they have not played to the under yet. Closing number in the Sunflower Showdown against Kansas State was 56-29-27, the final score there. And, oh, maybe ask your in-state foes, the Wildcats, about how difficult a place Provo can be when the sun has set. Those good folks out there in Provo, they're not drinking, so they got all the energy in the world. Diet Coke runneth through their veins. They're up past 7:15, ready to go. Nobody's passing out in the stands. That's not what Provo is. Anyway, let's go to a huge game, Joe, in Boulder. That is, in fact, not late night at all. 10 a.m. local time in the Rocky Mountain State. Colorado, despite having a Big 12 loss, and BYU does not, they are unblemished, is the Big 12 favorite at this moment because the path for CU more favorable than that of BYU. And they're an 11.5 point favorite is Colorado against Utah tomorrow, big noon kickoff. Isaac Wilson, Zach's younger brother, back as Utah's quarterback. Not even sure how healthy he is. Second time this year for Colorado as a double-digit favorite. First time against an FBS foe. Joe, the Buffs have covered in seven consecutive, all six Big 12 games. Will they make it lucky number seven?
Yeah, to me, it would only be Colorado here, but I'm also thinking maybe an under not bad here, especially early, because I do think, listen, Utah got its heart ripped out last week against BYU. It's been a trying season to begin with. I do think Kyle Willingham will have these guys ready to go. But if Utah is going to be in any game, it has to step up defensively. I love the game planning Willingham will have against Colorado and Shador Sanders, of course, and Hunter. I think the under in the first half, great look here with an opportunity, probably, Ben, to get that number so low at in the second half, you can probably bet the over. I mean, look at that, 44.5 now. I think it's warranted because Utah has to step up defensively in this game to stay in it.
Utah played to the over last week in the Holy War, despite being blanked in the second half, just the second over this year for the Utes in their nine games. It has not been the season in Salt Lake that many expected. Huge group of five matchup in the American. Tulane, the conference favorites, taking on Navy. The midshipmen had dropped two in a row after the perfect start. They bounced back last week against South Florida. The green wave, though, if you haven't been paying attention to Darian Mensah, John Sumrall, and the action in New Orleans, this would be the time, Joe. In my opinion, Tulane covers in Annapolis.
Lay it. Tulane is, they got a great opportunity here to get their eighth straight. They're a better team than Navy, period. I like their chances of getting the upset on, well, as a favorite on the road. I like it here.
It's going to be a huge game for the AAC title race where Navy's rivals, Army, still very much in the hunt. The rest of Saturday, Sunday, pick six, and then football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Week 12 watch list, our third to last Saturday. I don't know if there's a word for that, like penultimate means second to last, but our third to last Saturday of this college football regular season. Again, not all these games are like, ooh, top five till top 10 till top 15 matchup. There's, in fact, only one other ranked versus ranked game outside of Tennessee and Georgia, and it's this one, Missouri in South Carolina. Joe, the Gamecocks, nearly a two-touchdown favorite at home in Columbia. Brady Cook for Mizzou still listed as doubtful. Man, I am going to be loaded up on South Carolina tomorrow to maybe cover a two-touchdown spread, but give me Gamecocks team total over, game over, whatever. South Carolina wins big tomorrow.
I want nothing to do with that game. That is maybe the most public of public of situations at all. Yeah. Everybody is playing South Carolina with good reason. I mean, they're one of the hottest teams right now, but both these teams, pretty good records here, and it just feels like, wow, two touchdowns, even with Pine at quarterback. It just, that's a huge ask here for a team that's supposed to win, Ben. Supposed to win. I think they do win, but boy, is that a lot of points to lay.
That's why I want to bet the points to go over 41 yes. and a half. Think the number's a little bit minimal if you've seen great Missouri's angle. Defense against power competition and not just FCS or yep. FBS foes in the group of five. It ain't that great. LSU, Florida. Can the Bayou Bengals bounce back after suffering their second consecutive loss and getting blown out last week by Alabama? Who's playing quarterback for Florida? That remains to be seen. Wisconsin now less than a two-touchdown underdog at home against Oregon. That was 14.5 for most of this week. Texas and Arkansas, old Southwest Conference rivalry. The Hogs, a great dog, under Sam Pittman. Love me some points in Boise State and San Jose State. That total 61.5. And K-State still trying to stay in the race for a Big 12 championship game appearance hosting Arizona State. Everybody's favorite running back and Mr. Do-It-All, Cam Scataboo, back at practice this week for ASU. Did not play last week against Central Florida.
Yeah, by the way, Napier came out. Lagway is back this week against LSU there with the missing one game with that hamstring. But I don't know that it changes it. With a hamstring, Ben, he could play three plays and then he's back out. I don't know. It feels like the over is probably a better look in this game since I don't trust either defense, but I do expect LSU to get some points on the board against this Florida defense that unfortunately has to be on the field way more than they should be. And don't be shocked when Wisconsin wins the game outright at Camp Randall against Oregon today. You heard it here first.
No way. You don't actually believe that.
Listen, wow. they ain't winning by, wow. I took the 14 points as well, so don't be shocked. Don't be shocked.
Huh. I think we get some points in that game just because of what Oregon has done when they've been favored by less than three touchdowns in Wisconsin's issues as an underdog against teams that have a pulse. That really shocked me. Did not expect you to say that. Just quickly on LSU, I expect this to be a buyback spot in the Tigers. That is such a depressed number. And I know LSU has looked awful in its last two games against A&M in the second half for all four quarters against Alabama. DJ Lagway was carted off the field with a hamstring injury 2 weeks ago. Hamstring injuries where the guy limps to the sideline, he misses a month. Even if he plays, what is LSU's weakness? The ground game. In stopping mobile quarterbacks. And Montrell Johnson might be back for the Gators. That's bigger news. Well, not bigger news than Lagway, but that's big news. I just don't know how Florida can put up much offensively to challenge an LSU defense that even with Blake Baker still has its struggles. Feels like an LSU number and a number that you're getting slightly depressed. Again, credit to Billy Napier and Florida for keeping games more competitive than maybe we expected in this gauntlet of a stretch. Still don't think it's a great spot for the Gators. All right, Joe, from college football now to our NFL Week 11 Pick 6, our best bets for the entirety of the weekend and a marquee Sunday slate. Here's the Pick 6 quickly. Anytime touchdown scores, somebody to hit Pater, moneyline underdog to win outright, favorite under of the weekend, an alternate line with a sprinkle of plus money, a yardage prop that we like the most, and we combined forces for a two-leg six-point teaser that did hit last week. I had the Niners as a pick'em. You had the Dolphins as a hefty dog on Monday. And of course, Miami won that game outright. So the boys are back. Anytime touchdown score, Joe Ranieri, kick us off for week number 11.
All right. I'm a big, if it ain't broke, don't fix it motto this week here. And we'll go with Amon St. Brown, who is now up to, I believe, 7 in a row with him catching a touchdown pass. And he did it even last week, despite Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions in the game, and he still managed to get a touchdown there, going up against a Jacksonville team that's allowed 19 passing TDs, second most in the NFL. Amon St. Brown continues with his touchdown streak.
That prolific connection has been great. And Joe, we talked about that game. Detroit's laying 2 touchdowns at home. It's the largest spread of this 2024 NFL season. And of course, the Lions are the best cover team in the National Football League. And in the last 3.5 years with Dan Campbell, feels like a very big number to cover. Detroit beats up on bad teams, 30.5 the team total. I expect some points from Detroit. Touchdown score for me, a game I'm heavily invested in, maybe out of narrative and just having some fun with it. The Indianapolis Colts, I think, went outright against the New York Jets. And I think Anthony Richardson, if it's not the arm, it's got to be the legs. Here's why I say this, Joe. If you go back to AR, if you make the move to go back to Richardson, when you have considered yourself, this being Indianapolis that I am referencing, a playoff caliber team, then you need to incorporate an offense that highlights the best of what Richardson can do. And we have seen his struggles with accuracy and efficiency. 44.4% completion percentage this year. That is not good. In fact, it is porous. It is horrible. It is abysmal for any NFL starting quarterback. But what does Anthony Richardson then present? The athleticism. So let him be athletic. He has only scored a touchdown, Joe, in the season opener for Indianapolis, but at least 24 rushing yards in all 6 games he has played in this year. Last year, in the very short sample size that was his condensed 4-game rookie season, he scored 4 rushing touchdowns in the first 3 games. He hasn't scored since week number 1. Get him back into the groove. Anthony Richardson plus 175 to find Pater.
I like it. And quietly, Ben, you know, when him as a starter, not for nothing, Indy, pretty good against the number. I believe he's 5-1 now as a starter here against the number. And there is no way I would ever look at backing the Jets, but they only cover that number, Ben, if he finds the end zone.
Yeah, and listen, he needs to be really efficient with the football. The Jets defense has had to take on the burden now for 3.5 years, and you can start to see it's wearing on them. Do not make it easy for them, Anthony Richardson. Please do not. Mm-mm. Your moneyline underdog to win outright, Joe, is who?
Okay, again, if it ain't broke, folks, don't fix it. Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, as a home underdog since 2021, 8-3-1 against the number, and oh yeah, in those 12 games, 8 outright wins. The underdog always wins and usually covers in this game. That's exactly why, if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it. Give me Pittsburgh to win this game outright.
We have shared the numbers since John Harbaugh arrived in Baltimore, when his Ravens have been favored by a field goal or more against Pittsburgh. 0-10-2. Against the spread. You just can't cover. So if it's going to be within 3 points, the Steelers have a great opportunity to win outright at home. And Pittsburgh has been a dog 3 times this year. All 3 games, they have won outright. My moneyline underdog in the rest of the Week 11 Pick 6. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Week 11 NFL Pick 6 continues here on this Football Friday on the Early Line. Renee, your underdog to win outright an AFC North team in the AFC North battle that will dictate the top spot in the division. Mine, also an AFC North team to win outright to keep their postseason hopes alive. That's the Bengals on Sunday night against the LA Chargers. Cincinnati is 5-0 against the spread this year on the road, twice as an underdog. They have covered in both, but lost outright against the Ravens and the Chiefs by a single point. That does not happen this week. Joe Burrow is 17-3 ATS in his NFL career when he starts a football game as an underdog. This week, it is outright because of all the good numbers about the Bengals as a dog, and this is not a shot to the Bolts. I do believe the Chargers are a playoff team in the AFC, and Jim Harbaugh has come in and done exactly what you would expect for the program and organizational builder that he is. But the Bengals can ill afford any more losses, let alone this one. They win outright as the underdog on the road on Sunday night in SoFi.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Ben. You're about to see here too in just a few minutes how much I agree with you on that play. But yes, Cincinnati, it's now or never.
It is now or never. Frankly, it is a limited margin of error. They've got 7 games remaining. Could they win 5 of 7 and still be a playoff team with how weak the back half of the AFC is? Perhaps. But if you want to control your path and still have life, it's got to be 6 of 7, you would think. And that starts on Sunday. Your favorite under of the weekend, which total catches your eye?
Well, it's funny. Ironically, Ben, you talked about that Cincinnati Charger game. That was actually flexed into Sunday night to replace the Colts and the Jets, which is the game I'm using to go under 43.5 in this one. And listen, I don't trust either of these quarterbacks right now. We cannot trust the Jets offense to do anything. And say what you want, the Colts have actually done defensively a pretty darn good job here over last month, even though they didn't have a lot of success with Joe Flacco. I think that embarrassing performance against Arizona this week, Albrecht comes out and says they're turning back the clock. They're doing tackling drills. And you know what? They better, because they were flat out embarrassed with the over 20 missed tackles against Arizona last week. I don't think they'll have that kind of game here. I think the Colts are going to have a hard time here. I do think the Colts probably outright win this game and put the Jets out of the misery. But I got this at like 23-16 kind of game here, Ben.
I get that. Just give me one Anthony Richardson touchdown, and I do agree. Two teams fighting because there's not a great chance for their playoff lives at this moment. All right, my favorite under of the weekend, Browns Saints under 44.5 in New Orleans. Joe, I looked at this total and I said to myself, this is the highest total of the year for Cleveland, under in 6 of 9 games. New Orleans, who of course lit the world on fire in their opening 2 weeks and then lost 7 consecutive games, had their first win last week with Darren Rizzi. And what happened? The game stayed well under. I don't really know how we get 45 points. Both teams are a little bit helter-skelter, and their seasons don't really have much. And you can see the title of the graphic, Tanker Try, and it's a dead-even pick'em on the money line. I just was a little bit shocked by that number at 44.5. I'll stay under Cleveland and New Orleans on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, and we talked to Mike Blewett earlier there, and I think he nailed it. The difference in this game is going to be the pass rush of the Browns versus what we just saw from the Falcons, which have none. So Derek Carr, I think, is going to struggle in this game. I don't see them scoring a lot of points. I'm with you. The under is probably the best look.
All right, alt line with a sprinkle of plus money. Where are you looking on this Sunday slate?
I'm looking at one of the highest totals on the board, especially for these two teams, and that's Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Ben, where I am expecting Lamar Jackson to have two or more passing touchdowns in this one here. I think he is. Listen, if this game goes over the total like I think it will, we're going to land in the 50s, which means Lamar is going to have to let the ball fly. They are going to have some sort of passing game. So this way, Pittsburgh doesn't stack the box to try and stop Derrick Henry. I think Andrews is very live for an anytime touchdown in this one as well. I do think Lamar is going to get his, and I think he's going to get more in the air than on the ground.
When you look at that total, 48.5 for no love lost in a bitter AFC North battle. The Ravens have gone over in 9 of 10 games this year. Pittsburgh has gone over in every single game that Russell Wilson has started. Even last week, which was at the time their highest total of the year. Now up by 3, 45 at a hook against the Commanders. Joe, you had that one nailed. It went well over by nearly double digits. My alt line, I could have made them my money line underdog, but it wasn't enough to make this point. Indianapolis, -2.5 to win by at least a field goal, as I expect them to win outright in MetLife on Sunday. It's +215. Again, I think there has to be a mentality change for Indianapolis if you are going to insert Anthony Richardson back as your starting quarterback, because you told your team, your talented roster, who you believe was playoff caliber, and the rest of your fan base, that Joe Flacco makes us a playoff team. They lost both of those games. They did not cover as an underdog. So what are you telling your team if you're just putting Anthony Richardson out there to learn from his mistakes and take those lumps? No, you tell him to go win a football game against the Jets team that we have to stop believing can win games when expected to as a favorite. Just 3-4 straight up this year in their 7 games as a favored side. All right, Ranieri, we'll get to our yardage prop, our teaser, and then run through the pick 6 one final time on the other side of the break for our final segment here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sportsman.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid Network. We round out our Football Friday. We complete our pick 6. We show you it in full one last time, and we send you into a wonderful football weekend. All right, our favorite yardage props of this weekend. Joe, I love your look for Sunday's AFC North battle between the Ravens and the Steelers. A guy that is so happy to have a new quarterback in the Steel City.
Oh, yes, he is, especially since Pickens is averaging 20 yards a catch once Russell Wilson actually took over. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that now the balance comes in with Arthur Smith, because a lot of this is all off of play action. You got to worry about the run, and that allows Pickens to be able to get behind guys. And the Ravens have allowed 29 completions of 25 yards or more. That averages out to 3 a game. That's 2 more than any other team in the NFL. Not to mention Kyle Hamilton, their stud safety. Not going to go in this one here. Nobody has been throwing the ball better deep than Russ. Over 25.5 yards for the longest completion for Mr. Pickens for Pittsburgh here for me.
At least 74 yards in all 3 games that Russ has started for Pittsburgh. His longest catch in each of those 3, at least 34 yards. Even when the ball doesn't end up in his hands on a Russell Wilson moon ball, he's trying to make a play like eating the Commander's defender's face on the INT return a week ago. I love that guy. He is certifiably nuts, but he's a good wide receiver. 40 grabs this year. That's it for George Pickens, but 600, and let me make sure I get this number right, 639 receiving yards, which is 9th best in the NFL.
Yep.
The 40 grabs barely cracks the top 30, and yet he has the ninth most receiving yards because of the downfield effort. Love that look, Joe. My yardage prop, Christian McCaffrey over his combo number, rushing plus receiving, now out at 114 and a hook. Joe, you mentioned what Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo did this Seattle team a couple of weeks ago as the Niners beat them 36-24 in the Northwest. Now their home is a 6.5-point favorite. McCaffrey back last week for his season debut. Looked good, felt healthy. All returns were good, even after the game. Still at 107 scrimmage yards, and he only had 13 carries for 39 yards. I think they make even more of a concerted effort against a bad Seattle defense, seventh worst in the NFL defending the run, 139 yards given up per game, of getting CMC really back in the groove, over 114 and a half rushing plus receiving yards. All right, now we combine forces. Our two-leg, six-point teaser that was a winner a week ago. Let's keep it rolling, man, for a second consecutive week.
Yeah, it was good, man. We got a couple of wins now with these teasers under our belt. And I told you earlier, after your money line underdog game that you chose and the team you chose, I'm using them in a teaser. I like the Bengals getting over a touchdown in this game against the Chargers. The line makes no sense given what we've seen from this Chargers team. The market clearly doesn't trust them to win this game by margin. The 1.5 is a head-scratching number to me. It tells you that Cincinnati is very much alive in this game.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. It's always crazy. However, I do think getting over a touchdown with this game makes a whole lot of sense, especially if you like Cincinnati to win outright.
And again, the Bengals are a 2-1 team against the number as an underdog this year. The only non-cover, that overtime loss at home by 3, is a 2.5-point dog against Baltimore. They are going to be in this game. And again, I believe they do win it outright. I'm going to take the Packers down to plus 1.5, basically a pick 'em here, because Green Bay is going to win in Chicago. If Matt Eberfluser had been fired, different story. But it's not. It's just Shane Waldron, and there's a lot of tumult right now in that locker room. Green Bay has won 10 consecutive against Chicago, 15 of the last 16. It continues. Quickly, Germanary, fire through all six of your picks in the pick six for week number 11.
All right, here we go. Week 11. Touchdown scorer, Amon St. Brown. Get it done for us. Our money line dog is the Steelers. We're going under in the Jets and Colts game, 43.5. Lamar Jackson over 2 touchdown passes. We're going to go Pickens over the longest reception at 25.5. And give me the Bengals in half of our teaser.
All right, TD score quickly for me. Anthony Richardson hits Pater, plus 175. Bengals outright, as we said. Brown Saints under 44.5. Colts alt line, minus 2.5. Christian McCaffrey over the combo. And the Packers win in Chicago. That's how you do a Football Friday, folks. We'll see you on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.